How many of you had turkey over the holidays? A couple of no's and a couple of, well, that's all right, but I'm going to talk about turkeys, so bear with me here, you know. I remember, and it was a great celebration, and when they came out with that little button thing that they put in the turkey, and when you baked the turkey, it would pop up. Remember that? Remember that? I remember waiting. I'd smell the turkey all morning long, and it would wait and wait, and it wasn't done yet, and waiting and waiting and wait. What delightful torture. But that little button would pop up and say, hey, it's ready. It's ready. So you all know what I'm talking about? Is there a name for that little button thing? The little button thing. That's the official name. I've got it from an expert here. So, Butterball button, I'm told. Barbara Show. If it isn't true, you then write a new page in Wikipedia that Barbara says that's true. So, if only Christians had a button that would pop up. Think about that a minute. Now I don't know. Sundays I'm usually kind of busy, so I don't get a chance to visit other churches, other denominations, go to other places and hear how other churches worship. And Rich Schneer isn't here for me to quiz him about the Lutherans and what have you, so I don't know. But I know that there's a lot of United Methodists who say, oh, I don't know my Bible well enough. Oh, I don't know the scriptures well enough. I'm not sure I'm ready to be in a conversation about the Lord. We need that little button because the reality is we are ready. Your button has popped up, all of you. Now, how does that feel? That might seem a little odd. Might be a little bit threatening to say, yeah, Pastor, I think you're a little bit nuts because my button has certainly not popped up. I am not ready. I haven't memorized the scriptures. I haven't been to seminary. I haven't had years of study. But being a Christian doesn't require any of those. Now, I'm not talking about going down and standing on a soapbox on the 16th Street Mall. I've actually seen fellows that go down and do that. And they have turned more people off than they've turned on. So that method of proselytizing is not what I'm talking about at all. I'm talking about being you, where you are, with the people you know, and authentically being the Christians that you are. That's all we have to do is be us, be honest, be loving. St. Francis of Assisi said it, and I've quoted him many times, offer Christ, use words only if necessary, but offer Christ. You are not Bible experts. I am technically not a Bible expert. I thought about taking Greek and Hebrew when I was in seminary and realized that there's too far to get to be an expert. I was in, I'll tell this story again, New Testament class, sitting there my first year in seminary. Professor Dennis McDonald, written many books, been an editor on various scholarly works and what have you. And he was showing us, this is back in the day before TV, it was actually, he had slides from a carousel projector on the screen, and he brought up some of the Dead Sea Scrolls. And he was bringing stuff up, and he showed us some of those scrolls. And he says, so this is the Greek, and he starts reading it in the Greek. I was so impressed. I thought, that's what I want. I want to be able to read the original in the Greek. And he was reading along, and he got to a certain phrase, and he said, and the gal next to me corrected him. Kid you not. Now, she's Greek Orthodox. She speaks it every day. She knows the language. She knows the words. She knows the phrases. And he said, thank you, Dee. How many years had he studied to be a Greek scholar and sitting in class and his student corrects him? So I said right there and then, I'm not going to try and learn Greek. So to this day, it is still Greek to me. I could not leave it there. I could not leave it off the table. Nonetheless, not being a Greek scholar, nonetheless, not being a Hebrew scholar, nonetheless, being who I am with all my foibles, I am able to offer Christ, and you are able to offer Christ. Some of you might say, well, you know, I'm not a good public speaker. I have occasionally, you know, we have a different liturgist. And thank you, by the way, Diana's been liturgist all the way through December. We really worked her out, didn't we? Thank you, Diana. All those extra worship services, and she's accompanied the singing and carrying on. But I've called a few people over the years and asked them to be liturgists, and they'll say, oh, no, I couldn't possibly stand up and read scripture. I get too nervous in front of people. And so do I. God called me and I said, Lord, you got the wrong phone number for sure. But that's neither here nor there. You remember Moses? God went to Moses and he says, Moses, I could make you my spokesperson. And Moses says, but I have a speech impediment, Lord. And he did. God says, I will speak through you. You're ready. Your little button has popped up. You are on track, brother. So this is all about all of us being ready to offer Christ. And we need to. We need to offer Christ. The scripture out of Luke that Diana read, the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The favor of God and the Spirit of God. And the Spirit is on us. We are a people of the New Testament and of the Holy Spirit. We'll get to that again in Pentecost. We'll hear about the tongues as of fire that descend and rest upon each of us, giving us utterance. And it's important to note that we have an utterance that is unique. I quit after 3 years of college. I had gone straight into college out of high school. I think I was just fed up with it all. I just had to take a break, and I went and built houses for a year. So I worked with a bunch of scruffy, profane carpenters and drywallers and construction folks. And I mean, some of them could not say a sentence without including an expletive. It was amazing to hear that. And I spent a year with it, and fortunately I didn't pick up and get into the same habit. But it's interesting that I can talk to them in their language without expletives because I have lived there and I know them. And so I have an in with them, if you will. They are fellow brothers and sisters. Christ has enabled me and given me voice to them. In the same way you have been with unique groups of people, neighbors, friends, co-workers, what have you, and you are able and enabled through God and through that voice. We need to be about speaking out, and we need to be about sharing, and we need to do it now. Take a look at Israel and Hamas right now. And the broader picture is Arabs and Christians and worlds divided and all of the vitriol and hatred and anger and resentment. And yet, we are all children of the same Abraham. Remember that song, Father Abraham had many sons? Many sons had Father Abraham. And those sons include the group of people that will become the 12 tribes of Jacob, the Israelites. And they include the children of Ishmael who will become the princes of Islam. We all come from a common heritage. How can we not be brothers and sisters? How do we bridge and speak and love across those barriers? I saw, this always happens to me, I was just channel surfing and I went across the news and I caught part of a news story. And it kind of went in one ear and didn't really resonate until I had gone to another channel and had lost it. But they were talking about a group living on the border of the West Bank that included Jews and Palestinians, living together in community, vowing to be a community together, and crossing the barriers and not attacking one another, not vilifying one another, not hating one another. They were doing that work of peacemaking. I don't have any more of the story. If you have heard more, if you hear more, I'd like to hear more about it. I'd like to hear how we can support them, if nothing else, by prayer. You see, because that's what we're about, that's where we are and need to be. Christmas is always wonderful, and the birth of Christ and the promise of the risen Lord being among us, God with us, Emmanuel. And some people have become jaded because they don't feel like Christ has saved the world. The world is in worse shape than it ever was. Now, that might be a misconception. But Jesus didn't come to politically solve the problems. Jesus came to prepare us to be those who build the bridges and who share and who love one another. Christ's mission is still underway. 2,000 years, God will not be mocked in human history. God will prevail, and it is in our hearts where we begin to do that work. You are the turkeys. It's not often the preacher gets to say that to his congregation. But you are the turkeys, and you're, what did you call it, Barbara? A butterball button. Your butterball button has popped up. And you can tell because we are gathered here in the name of the Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen.